Weak solidarity, Bricky Team Listener, when there's an extreme version of blame shifting occurring between that bastion of compassion and healthcare, the private health insurance corporates, and the private hospitals. See, despite former big supremo Little Johnny Howhard transferring heaps of the public health funds to the private sector, the private hospitals are crying poor and blaming the health insurance lot for not reimbursing them enough, while the health insurance lot says, rubbish, you're just inefficient, which is hard to believe given this is the super efficient private sector. And of course, we know their major concern is that they provide the very best health care. Well, not exactly. Front page headline this week, cost alert, hospitals uninvestable. That's more like it. It's profit stupid, stuff the patients. The great believers in laissez-faire with a fair top-up of public health funds have come up with a couple of solutions. Send costly cases to the public system and insist the government meet its responsibilities by handing them even more of the public health budget. After all, in public hands, that budget is so inefficient. It's a treacherous thought, but if all the public health funds were directed at public health, would there be a need for the super-efficient private health system in the first place? Even worse thought, if the 2% Medicare levy no longer meets the needs, wait for it, increase the levy and provide what Medicare is supposed to be, a free universal health system. And now we all know obtaining government largesse to get an exclusive monopoly license to run a casino is like being handed a private mint. Jamie Puker's Crook Casino, for instance, reaping a lots of non-monopoly money, even too big to lose its license when it lived up to its name, the Crook Casino. Well, the Star Chamber Casino has the same monopolistic license in Brisbane and Sydney, where an inquiry showed the same usual as the Crooks. Money laundering, criminals running riot, punters ripped off, problem gamblers encouraged to become even bigger problem gamblers, consistent winners barred. In other words, business as usual. Yet they're so brilliant, they've turned their private mint into a massive losing machine, massive debt. That's some achievement. But no problem, they've come up with a solution. In line with their commitment to laissez-faire, capitalism, small government, keep the bloated, inefficient hand of government out of the private sector, after the bloated hand has done its job, of course, handing them their private mint. The governments must come to the rescue, they say. State governments and their lenders should bail them out. Hard as it is to believe, the governments and lenders are not all that anxious to take up the offer. This despite the shareholders being a who's who of our corporate heroes, including promiscuous recipient of government largesse Wilson's Asset Management, which has obviously done a superb job managing this asset. What is the world coming to when a government won't face up to its responsibilities? As a by-the-by, with all the illegalities exposed by the two inquiries, how many corporate crooks have been charged over them? On Law and Order, where the crooks are charged, law-abiding Northern True Blue Aussie respectable citizens can begin to breathe a little easier as their new caring business class hayseed and sheepshit government moves to return the age of criminal responsibility to 10. Unless you're white, when you might get a warning, but you won't be charged, because while kids aren't the problem, white kids aren't the problem, and they're only children. When I say kids, Indigenous kids are not kids, they're fully mature at 10. In fact, they're born mature. Which brings me to the week that was brilliant solution to all the problems of those respectable citizens in their government. Lock them up at birth. Given they're going to spend most of their lives in and out of the slammer anyway, save valuable time, especially valuable, a police time. There, crime problem solved, and the Indigenous people have a home for life. And despite international rulings that spithoods must be banned, they know 10-year-old career criminals can't be controlled without them. But the new Supremo says they now have new upmarket state-of-the-art spithoods. Oh, well, that's okay then. And as part of our solution, lock 'em up at birth, we've come up with wonderfully innovative spithood bibs and dummies. And by dummies, I don't mean the Supremo and her government. Here in Victoria, our government showed the socialists' usual courage under tabloid fire by heeding the wise progressive words of the, forces of law and order and Lord Rupert of Wapping and backing down on its proposal to increase the age. Although the forces of law and Lord Rupert point to one glaring failure in our fight against rampant crime, bail. Hardened criminals, many as old as 12, are being released back onto the street. And as we're alerted and alarmed at the avalanche of reports of that rampant crime, how dare the goody-goody Black Armband Brigade tell us the actual figures show crime levels are declining? For goodness sake, we won't let a diversion like the facts come between us and the ever-expanding privatised prison system. The Climate Change Authority, not sure whether that means it's there to encourage climate change anyway, released a 234-page report telling us inter alia we will need to plant trees in an area the size of Belgium if we are to reach our 2050 target of net zero while still polluting to our heart's content, prompting the farm lobby to point out this would cause food shortage crisis. It's just one problem after another, isn't it? But those trees are essential to offset the fossils. Now, I know it's a silly thought, but why not obviate the need for an arboreal Belgium by banning the fossils altogether? Address the problem at its source. Although they may not be a problem, as our old mate Woodside with Profits Supremo Meg O'Neill before Profits pointed out, as figures showed a new Woodside with LNG terminal in the US of the UN of the US of the world will double the company's emissions, and that's saying something, pointed out the great responsible corporate was on track to meet its emission targets. Thanks, Meg, that's reassuring. Although it might depend on just what those emission targets are. Poor Meg has a lot more to worry about. Woodside with is also developing a new oil project in Senegal, also no doubt allowing it to meet its emission targets. Anyway, it's now in a legal dispute with the Senegalese government because, wait for it, talk about outrageous, a great corporate through the goodness of its big generous heart doing its bit to help the Senegalese people because it so cares about them. The Senegalese government wants it to pay some tax. Poor Meg has no choice but to fight that one. And also reassuring, caring business class party Supremo and would-be big Supremo, well, de facto big Supremo, Constable Peter Duffer, assures us revelations a nuclear reactor he plans for the Hunter Valley, smack in the middle of a major earthquake zone, is no problem because these things are built to withstand such disasters. One small problem. Scientists this week pointed out that by the time Pete's state-of-the-art unproven modular reactor is not up and not running, the climate change he knows doesn't exist will create a problem in the water department, given nuclear reactors require massive, massive amounts and there would be a major water shortage. But no worries, Pete will sort that out. Pete, as he warns us against providing refuge to the non-land, non-people victims of the slaughter he supports, also put all these Lebanese detractors in their place. As they recalled, he said it was also a mistake by earlier governments to allow Lebanese Muslim terrorists to settle here. Reminded of this in an interview, Pete said he had apologised about that, but these Lebanese with long memories all said they have no recollection of him ever apologising. Pete or Muslim terrorists, we know who to believe. Ditto, Big Supremo Anthony Albanese, as the Islamic Council and numerous individuals claim he promised in opposition a socialist government would recognise a Palestinian state in its first term. Putting them in their place, Anthony said, direct quote, "We support recognition of a Palestinian state as part of a peace process in support of a two-state solution and an enduring peace. We continue to work with the US of." So, problem solved. As long as he can tell us where a Palestinian state would be and how he intends to convince the Zion government, whose rights he does support, which he does recognise, to alter its position that there will never be a Palestinian state. Oh, we can be sure Penny and Anthony have got that under control. Good to see the socialists prepared to fight over a matter of principle. Among themselves, that is. No, no, not the slaughter and destruction and genocide. They support that, the right of Zion to defend itself against the non-land, non-people whose land it stole. No, no, nor the daily class struggle in the workplace, because they know, like the caring business class knows, there is no such thing as class struggle. Sadly, there is class envy. Interesting that, because if there's no class, what are they envious of? No, no, nor the frying of the planet, because they know we need the fossils frying the planet so we can transition from the fossils frying the planet. No, no, real principle. In the right corner, we have Deputy Big Supremo, Minister for Being Offensive and Train-Killing Richard Moles the Bad Guys. And in the right corner, former would-be Big Supremo, Little Billy Shorten Ambition, soon to become a Vice-Chancellor, showing Canberra Uni isn't that fussy. Anyway, a new seat created in the western suburbs, and Richard and Little Billy, each representing a good, good, not evil right-wing union, are fighting each other over who'll get their bum on the plush seat. See, they do fight for matters of principle. And finally, whoever does get her or his bum on the plush seat can be guaranteed to make a momentous difference to the lives of working people not caught up in the class struggle the socialists know doesn't exist. Good morning.